The remaining spark flies dissipated into the night sky. The Dathomiri and Offworlders began to assess damage and figure out what had happened. Nobody had been stung enough to perish, but several were badly injured. Carrick, the worst of them. The burns at his knees, elbows, armpits, and neck were enough to send him into shock. Illyri and a healer of the Raining Leaves tended to him, wrapping his burns in clothes soaked in a plant infusion the Dathomiri said was good against burns. Han looked over the wounds as Carrick was being bandaged.
He needs Bacta.
That means the spaceport.
Dion had one black burn spot on the tip of his nose, now bandaged, and another on his right forearm.
None of the clans has Bacta reserves.
Clan members straggling out of the forest reported that those who had headed off in search of the attackers had run into traps. Nets, spikes, deadfalls, poisonous animal traps. It was there that the fatalities began to add up. Two women of the Raining Leaves, three men of the Broken Columns, and two Night Sisters. Luke went from the site of Carrick's first grenade explosion to each one in turn. At the first two, he found bodies, fragmentary bodies of Dathomiri women. Kamina, Tassander, and other representatives of both tribes went out to look. Oleana identified the woman at the first blast site as Hasina of the Red Mud Potters, and no one could identify the other. By no stretch of the imagination was either supposed to be here, so far from her clan lands.
Which, Dion said, means Night Sisters. I suspect that Carrick's grenades killed these two before they even felt the danger. But the first couple of explosions alerted and scattered the others. The survivors sent the insects against Carrick for revenge.
Ben led a search party back to the body he'd tripped over. In the light of Dion's glow rod and the torches of the Dathomiri, they recognized that body as well. It was Tribeless Shaw. She had a stab wound in her back, and her throat had been slashed. Her eyes were open, her expression vacant. Solemn, Luke stooped to close her eyes.
She's cold, Ben said. She's been out here for quite a while.
Kamina's expression was sympathetic.
She must have stumbled across some of the Night Sisters as they were setting up traps, and they killed her.
Ben shook his head.
As good a tracker as she was? She comes out here, sees something odd going on, hunkers down to watch, and they sneak up on her?
Luke shrugged an "it's possible" gesture. They had the Force on their side, Ben.
Yeah, I suppose, but something doesn't feel right.
His father gave him a half-smile.
Well, I've learned to listen whenever someone like Corrin Horn said something like that. I'd better learn to do the same with you. Trust and follow your instincts, Ben.
Thanks, Dad.
They returned to camp in time to hear Han and Leia react to beeps from their comlinks, beeps indicating a message received and recorded. Han pulled his comlink out and activated it. Alana's voice came over the miniature speaker.
Hello? This is Millennium Falcon. We need to talk to Han and Leia right away. Please? Angie's hurt.
C-3PO's voice, faint, could be heard next.
Don't forget to say over, miss.
Alana continued.
Please, over. Hello? Please call. He's going to be coming for us soon.
Han paled. The change to his complexion was visible even in the firelight. He activated the transmitter on his comlink.
Honda Falcon! Honda Falcon! Come in, Amelia. Over.
There was no answer.